tonight. I hope everyone is having a wonderful start of the day. My name is Jeff, and welcome to another episode of Leaning with Jeff. There has been a slight delay in the start of my showtime today. I do have a class right before my show, so if I'm just a minute or two late, please understand. But yes, we are here, and we are in week five of our semester, I believe. I hope everyone is having a non-stressful time so far. I know that midterms are coming up, and I wish the best of luck to everyone who is possibly taking a midterm either this week or next week. And for those of you guys who are overwhelmed with assignments like me, I hope you the best. But yeah, before we get started, I'll turn on some ads and some PSAs, and then we will continue our episode on T.S. Eliot's poem, A Love Story, and that will be it. So yeah, let's get started.
Inspires me is just the underground sound.
This video tutorial will teach you how copy and paste.
Yeah, when you hear that sound, you know you're locked into
copy paste.
That's right, it's copy paste radio. We broadcast underground dance music each and every week here on CITR, and if you, like me, are inspired by the sounds of the underground, I highly recommend you head on over to citr.ca/donate and contribute to this year's Fun Drive 2021. Let's keep copy-paste and all the other fine programming here going for years to come, only on your favorite independent station, CITR. Don't let CITR be the one that got away.
If you're out there and you are wearing a patterned sweater, Bluntstones, and thrifted jeans in the front left of Psych 102, meet me February 2nd at 8 p.m. at CITR Station in the AMS Nest to get to know each other better over some $3 beers and cool local bands. Show me that chivalry is not dead.
CITR wants to broadcast our love for you by putting on a live show at the CITR station on February 2nd at 7:30 p.m. This will be the official Fun Drive kickoff show. Tickets are only $5, drinks are cheap, and we have four amazing local bands performing. Nonarchy, Magnolia, Punching Knives, and Cat Larceny.
What's happening? I'm Owen Wilson, and I'm here to talk to you about a subject that's near and dear to my heart.
The CITR and Discorder Fun Drive.
CITR's great. So is Discorder.
I don't know what to expect. I gotta be honest. I come in, it's like a little like I'm trying to get my bearings. There's cartoons, your mom.
Radio's cool.
So do the right thing. Donate now to the
CITR and Discorder Fun Drive.
You'd be doing me a solid.
Go to CITR.ca/donate.
Come on. Come on.
Hello, everyone. This is Sara from the Arts Report here on CITR, and it is Fun Drive week here. This week is the one time each year we ask for your support to help us keep local and help keep independent and alternative voices on the air. CITR has given me and others here at the Arts Report so many opportunities that we're eternally grateful for. We get to meet local artists, interview them, and do reviews on shows that we never thought we'd be able to see, and we do it thanks to your donations. So, if you're in a position to contribute, please visit citr.ca/donate in order to donate. No donation is too little, and thank you so much.
Yes, we are back. I guess we'll go through one more before we get started, and then, yeah, we'll continue everything. Hold on.
Hi,
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Thinkum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Anthasyakuya, Talitin, Homasquim, Astail. All right, we are back. Again, my name is Jeff. Welcome to another episode of Leanin' with Jeff. And today we are doing a continuation of the poem by T.S. Eliot. Hold on, let me just reposition the mic. Yes, we are doing a continuation of the poem, The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock, by T.S. Eliot. And we did like a short introduction of when the poem was published, and some basic information about the poem. And it's actually a pretty interesting poem. I will be putting up a audio recording of the poem by the poet himself, T.S. Eliot, after I announce some things, and then we will get started with this show. All right, a quick announcement. Fun Drive is happening, so please, please donate. You just need to go to citr.ca/donate, I believe. That's the website. If you don't know, just go to CITR website, and then on the top right corner, there will be a donate button, an orange donate button, and you just need to donate. There are a lot of prizes that you could get from donating. I believe there's like a robe you could get, a wine glass, I believe, a lighter, and some other other prizes. We did do our kickoff show. We did raise a lot of money as well. So I just want to thank everyone who came to the kickoff show last Thursday night. It was truly a blast. And thank you to all the execs and the staff members that helped us do this band event. However, for those of you who have not come to the Hideout 2 of Fun Drive, no need to worry, because we will be doing a finale event for Fun Drive. And this is happening this Thursday, February 9th at 8 p.m. at Redgate Art Society. The tickets will be $10, and there will be a bar where you could buy beers and other types of drinks. So, yeah, this Thursday night, if you guys are free, it would be amazing if you guys can come to Redgate Art Society. There will be three bands playing: Jackson Ramsey, Puzzlehead, and Cyrus Jordan. And Jackson Ramsey is actually the band that won our Shindig event last year. And so it's great to have them back. Obviously, it's great to have all these wonderful bands out. It's going to be amazing. So if you guys just want to jam to some music, enjoy some you know, music, and just dance around a little bit, get your stress out of the way, and just, you know, have a great night, please come to this event. This is absolutely a great time to meet some new people, listen to some music, and just have a drink. So yeah, the finale is happening this Thursday. Please don't forget. And if you have any money or any extra change, it would be amazing to support RCITR radio station and donate, because we are trying to get a new transmitter. And I promise you, we will use the money for good use. So, yeah, please consider in donating whatever amount that is applicable for you. Now, there is a slight change that I will be making in my show, which is, I would actually love to add a fun fact segment into my show now. I was saying that I didn't want to add this in, but I think it's actually pretty interesting, not only for the audience, but also for me as well, because learning about these fun facts is very, very cool. And a lot of the times, many of the fun facts that I represent, or that I say or find, are nice. And, you know, I think it sparks a good conversation on my own experiences. And if you guys have any types of experiences relating to the fun fact, feel free to call the station. I have mentioned the number of Studio A multiple times, but it is 604-822-2487. So, you know, during my time, which is my show from 12 to 1, if anyone wants to call in and just comment on either the poem or the art that I'm doing for my show, or if you just want to call in just to have a quick chat with me, I am totally open. So the number is 604-822-2487. Feel free to contact me, or this, or not me, but the studio, and I will be here at this time every single week. All right. Fun Drive, again, cannot mention it more, but it's a really, really fun event. Actually, we had our movie day event last Friday, and it was truly amazing. I was supposed to stay there, or I signed up to stay in the station to watch the movie from 12 to 2, but it ended up staying till 4:30. That's how good it was. And we watched the movie Mamma Mia, and, well, I didn't finish it, but I watched almost all of it. And Valentine's Day, I think that was the other movie, which was pretty pretty funny to watch with the people there. There will be other events going on this week as well for Fun Drive. So, you know, just come down to the station. It doesn't need to be for a particular reason. If you just want to come down, just chill, just see what's going on, it would be amazing, you know. We were doing some other events this week as well. I'm not quite sure what we are doing. But yeah, we'll be down. And if you have any questions, feel free to ask anyone at the station. We're very, very open. And we're really trying to help you guys out to do what you really love. Which could be either, you know, starting your own podcast like me, or contributing to the Discorder magazine, which is also a very, very good thing. But yes, all right. Before we get started, I think some people didn't have the chance to listen to the audio version of the poem. The reason why I'm having my audience listen to the poem is because I kind of want everyone to listen to the poem and interpret the poem however you feel like interpreting it at first, before we dive into the analysis portion of the poem. So just listen to the poem, just see what it brings out of you, what kind of emotions you feel out of it, what lines stuck out, and what really is something that you would want to dive deeper into, and then we'll go from there. But yes, this is a continuation of the love song of J. Alfred Prufrock from last week. So I won't be going too much into the poem history as much. What I mean by this is like when it was published and all that. But we will be diving into the structure of the poem a bit more and what it's about. And then I will probably be doing a reflection on what I think about the poem myself. And then for those of you who are listening, if you have any comments about it, feel free to contact. I'm here. So yes, this is the audio version of T.S. Eliot reading the poem. So I hope you guys enjoy.
Let us go then, you and I, when the evening is spread out against the sky like a patient etherized upon a table. Let us go through certain half-deserted streets, the muttering retreats of restless nights in one-night cheap hotels and sawdust restaurants with oyster shells. Streets that follow like a tedious argument of insidious intent to lead you to an overwhelming question. Oh, do not ask, what is it? Let us go and make our visit. In the room the women come and go, talking of Michelangelo. The yellow fog that rubs its back upon the window panes. The yellow smoke that rubs its muzzle on the window panes. Licked its dung into the corners of the evening, lingered upon the pools that stand in drains, let fall upon its back the soot that falls from chimneys, slipped by the terrace, made a sudden leap, and seeing that it was a soft October night, curled once about the house and fell asleep. And indeed there will be time for the yellow smoke that slides along the street, rubbing its back upon the window panes. There will be time to prepare a face to meet the faces that you meet. There will be time to murder and create, and time for all the works and days of hands that lift and drop a question on your plate. Time for you and time for me, and time yet for 100 indecisions, and for 100 visions and revisions, before the taking of a toast and tea. In the room the women come and go, talking of Michelangelo. And indeed there will be time to wonder, do I dare and do I dare? Time to turn back and descend the stair with a bald spot in the middle of my hair. They will say, how his hair is growing thin. My morning coat, my collar mounting firmly to the chin, my necktie rich and modest, but asserted by a simple pin. They will say, but how his arms and legs are thin. Do I dare disturb the universe? In a minute there is time for decisions and revisions, which a minute will reverse. For I have known them all already, known them all, have known the evenings, mornings, afternoons. I have measured out my life with coffee spoons. I know the voices dying with a dying fall beneath the music from a farther room. So how should I presume? And I have known the eyes already, known them all, the eyes that fix you in a formulated phrase. And when I am formulated, sprawling on a pin, when I am pinned and wriggling on the wall, then how should I begin to spit out all the butt ends of my days and ways? And how should I presume? And I have known the arms already, known them all, arms that are braceleted and white and bare, but in the lamplight down with light brown hair. Is it perfume from a dress that makes me so digress? Arms that lie along a table or wrap about a shawl. And should I then presume? And how should I begin? Shall I say, I have gone at dusk through narrow streets and watched the smoke that rises from the pipes of lonely men in shirt sleeves leaning out of windows. I should have been a pair of ragged claws scuttling across the floors of silent seas. And the afternoon, the evening, sleeps so peacefully, smoothed by long fingers, asleep, tired, or it malingers, stretched on the floor here beside you and me. Should I, after tea and cakes and ices, have the strength to force the moment to its crisis? But though I have wept and fasted, wept and prayed, though I have seen my head grown slightly bald, brought in upon a platter, I am no prophet, and here's no great matter. I have seen the moment of my greatness flicker, and I have seen the eternal footman hold my coat and snicker. And in short, I was afraid. And would it have been worth it after all? After the cups, the marmalade, the tea, among the porcelain, among some talk of you and me, would it have been worthwhile to have bitten off the matter with a smile, to have squeezed the universe into a ball, to roll it toward some overwhelming question, to say, I am Lazarus, come from the dead, come back to tell you all, I shall tell you all. If one settling a pillow by her head should say, that is not what I meant at all. That is not it at all. And would it have been worth it after all? Would it have been worthwhile after the sunsets and the dooryards and the sprinkled streets, after the novels, after the teacups, after the skirts that trail along the floor, and this and so much more. It is impossible to say just what I mean, but as if a magic lantern threw the nerves in patterns on a screen. Would it have been worthwhile if one, settling a pillow or throwing off a shawl and turning toward the window, should say, "That is not it at all. That is not what I meant at all." No, I am not Prince Hamlet, nor was meant to be. Am an attendant lord, one that will do to swell a progress, start a scene or two, advise the prince. No doubt an easy tool, deferential, glad to be of use, politic cautious and meticulous, full of high sentence but a bit obtuse, at times indeed, almost ridiculous, almost at times the fool. I grow old. I grow old. I shall wear the bottoms of my trousers rolled. Shall I part my hair behind? Do I dare to eat a peach? I shall wear white flannel trousers and walk upon the beach. I have heard the mermaids singing each to each. I do not think that they will sing to me. I have seen them riding seaward on the waves, combing the white hair of the waves blown back when the wind blows the water white and black. We have lingered in the chambers of the sea by sea girls wreathed with seaweed red and brown till human voices wake us and we drown.
Yes. So that was T.S. Eliot, The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I guess I'll first go into the perspective of how the poem is being read. And it's being read by the main character in the poem. And he's doing an inner monologue inside his head. And he's contemplating things that is bothering him in his life and how he is not, it's almost like he's arrogant, yet he's not, he's almost arrogant, but also kind of paranoid in the sense of he's overthinking too many things and not necessarily taking any action to his thoughts. And so he's explaining this as if he's trying to come up with a conclusion of what he's thinking, which is he's having trouble of how he's isolated and how he's capable of doing certain actions, yet he's not at the same time because he's just overthinking too many things. And honestly, although this poem is called The Love Story, I think it's not much about the love because there aren't any actions that are being taken place throughout the poem. And the main person who is the man who is who comes out as an overeducated a man who just overthinks a lot, has a woman that he's interested in, but he wants to kind of have a certain connection with her. But he doesn't want to force it because I think there's a line in the poem where it says something about the universe and should he dare to do that to the universe, which is to wonder, do I dare, time to run back and descend the stair. And this kind of shows how he doesn't want to interfere with anything that is inevitable, I guess, and change the outcome of his actions purely influenced by his desire. There's also a line that says, "Disturb the universe as a question," where he's like, wait, should I or should I not? But as he comes out as a very intellectual person, he just comes down to, no, I don't think I should. But only the thought of it is just making him almost crazy. There are a lot of elements, as I mentioned last week, about the, like, quote-unquote irregular rhyme schemes that are presented in the poem, yet they aren't irregular at all once you read them out loud. And this is what I discovered in poetry, is that when you're reading poetry, for at least for me, when you're reading poetry in your head and then you decide to read it out loud, you hear the pattern of the poem and the rhymes of it and the structure of it, how it's formed, where certain words are placed. And it's so much easier to pick out those specific characteristics of a poem when you read them out loud. And you also hear what perspective this poem is being read on. And in this one, as I mentioned, it is from a man who is having some sort of dilemma in his own head, and he's expressing it. Now, there was one interesting thing that I would like to point out, which is the use of dramatic monologue. And what dramatic monologue is it's a conversation a speaker has with themselves. So it's speaking to your own self. And as I mentioned, this poem has that because that man is speaking to himself about his problems and his dilemmas that he's experiencing. And it's directed at a listener or reader who does not respond. So although this is a poem that is meant for an audience to read, the existence of this poem is actually, I think it's only for the person who wrote the poem or the person who is having these inner thoughts. So the main character that is having this type of dialogue inside their head is the only one who should. Its purpose is for himself only, not for an audience. And so I thought that was pretty interesting as well, because most poems are kind of designated for the listener to hear and to feel, yet this one is kind of directed towards the writer or the character in the poem, and then we're kind of the one who's almost intruding in their thoughts. And I think through that perspective, which is pretty interesting, it kind of gives us a sense of where this person is coming from and what kind of situation they are in. So if you look at the poem, there are a lot of questions he's asking himself. So as I mentioned at first, did disturb the universe is a question. Do I dare? And how should I begin? And should I then presume? All these questions that he's asking himself clearly shows that this person is talking to himself, not to an audience. So whatever he's saying inside this poem is not for us yet. It's for his. It's a conversation going on in his own head. And then you could see the confusion and like the back and forth going on within his own monologue, where he's asking a question and then he tries to answer it, but then he comes up with another question that contradicts the original statement that he made before. And then it just goes on and on and on. And I think this type of writing where you're reading to understand the writer, it's pretty interesting, because whenever I write, I think I try to write for the audience in a sense, where when they read this, I kind of want them to know and then relate to whatever I wrote. So then when I write poetry, it's more directed towards, like, half is for me, but also half is for the audience, so then they can kind of create relevancy to it and then form a stronger connection. But I think this is also a very interesting way to write poetry. And you could clearly see that the emotional state of the poem is not happy at all. And by listening, you could clearly tell this. And that's why I kind of want a listening segment in my show, is because I think listening to poetry really brings out the emotions that can't be completely presented when you're reading it on your own, because you are reading it through your voice, and you're not really having that experience where the writer who wrote the poem, who knows what the poem is about, really reading it out and then expressing the original feelings that comes out through the poem. Some emotions that are coming out is anxiety, desire, and disappointment. The anxiety, I think, is coming from almost like a paranoia kind of characteristic this writer or the main character has, where he's thinking about so many things and yet not taking any action towards it. And I actually completely relate to this because there are a lot of things that I do think about, yet because of the thoughts that I create, that's the reason why I'm not taking any action of it, because I'm just coming up with so many scenarios and points where that would contradict my previous conclusion. And that anxiety and desire is kind of working together to kind of make me indecisive with my actions. And then there comes disappointment, which is one of the main emotions that are presented in the poem, where he's disappointed because he's not really taking any kind of action towards anything, and then yet his desire is still there, so then he's disappointed on what he can't do. I also assume that because he is, I'm referring he as in the character in the poem, where he's disappointed because, as mentioned, of who the character is, he's very intellectual, and so he thinks that everything should come down to a certain specific conclusion, yet because it doesn't, instead of accepting the fact that not all things come down to a straight conclusion, he's disappointed in himself, and it's almost he's resenting himself for not being able to do that. And I think this kind of shows how unhealthy of a mindset this character has in himself, and it's just not a very effective way to deal with whatever circumstances this character is in. All right, let's try to move on to the structure of the poem. It is a free verse poem where the lines are not it's not specifically rhymed, so then not every line has a specific pattern in it. So then it's not like rhyme, unrhyme, rhyme, unrhyme, rhyme, unrhyme. It's kind of mixed in altogether, which may create a misconception of this poem not having a specific pattern of rhyme scheme, but it actually, if you read it out loud, you could catch it pretty easily. But a free verse is basically, it doesn't have any sort of consistency in the sense of how it's being written. But that doesn't mean it doesn't have any structure. That's the key point. Because it's a free verse, that doesn't mean there isn't a structure that this poem is following. It does contain rhyme schemes, and iambic pentameter, which is a very common way that lines of poetry are structured. Each line has 5 sets of 2 beats, and the first is unstressed and the second is stressed. So if you really break down the poem in terms of not only the physical hearing portion of it, but also the tone of it, the tone of how it's written, you could point out the structure and the pattern that the poem is having. And if we move on to the literary devices, similes are being used, but also personification and enchantment. Now, similes, if you look at the poem, actually appear when he is, I think he's referring to when he's measuring life with a coffee spoon. I think that could be a form of simile where he's kind of referring to how his life is being measured, yet ironically. I guess irony also plays into this role of how life, which is unmeasurable, is being measured, in fact, by a coffee spoon, which is kind of weird. It's almost subverting the audience's expectation into what they would expect in a certain herd context. But yes, I hope you guys had a kind of thought and feeling through this poem, because although it's pretty dark, there is a lot of meaning under it. I think one of the key points to this is that it also shows the truth of what it's like to have this thought process going on in your life, and what the true without the mask it looks like. So then not everything that we present outside is a clear representation of who we are and what we think, because we always have this inner thought in ourselves that will eventually contradict our outer shell. Now, I think that is almost about it, about this poem. I think we did touch upon a lot of the themes and the ideas and the ways that the poem is written in. And then I kind of made some connections in a broader sense of what it means. So yeah, I guess I will move on to my last segment, which I mentioned. I will be putting on a fun fact segment for you guys, and I think it will be a very fun and exciting way to end the show. But before we do that, I will turn on a song that has the theme love, and we will listen to this and then finish up our show with some interesting fun facts. So here I go.
When I'm old and grown, I won't sleep alone. Whoa. Every single moment will be faded into you. That's some type of love. That's some type of love. And I won't sing the blues, 'cause all I need is you. Whoa. Every single question will be answered all by you. That's some type of love. That's some type of love. When the world's on fire, we won't even move. There is no reason if I'm here with you. And when it's said and done, I'll give me to you. That's some type of love. That's some type of love. When we're old and gray, yeah, and our faces change, pretend, yeah. Every single moment will be just as we had planned. It was some type of love. That's some type of love. When the world's on fire, we won't even move. There is no reason if I'm here with you. And when it's said and done, I'll give me to you. That's some type of love. That's some type of love. I'll be with you. Give me to you, baby. That's some type of love. That's some type of love. When the world's on fire, we won't even move. There is no reason if I'm here with you. And when it's time,
That's some type of love. That's some type of love.
Yes, that was Some Type of Love by Charlie Puth. Now, who is ready for some fun facts? Because I am. All right, the first fun fact of the day. A narwhal's tusk reveals its past living conditions. Now, for those of you who do not know what a narwhal is, it's that sea creature in the ocean where the tusk is like a sword. It's like a swordfish, yet it's like a seal that has a sword. It's not really a fish that has a sword. It's a seal that has a sword. But yeah, apparently it reveals its past living, and studies show that a layer of the tusk would be added each year, which if you think about it, the longer the tusk is, the older the narwhal is. And they're actually known to live up to 50 years, which is quite a long time. But, however, the conditions in which they lived, such as like the pollution levels and the temperature, and even what their diet is consisted of, I think contribute to what or how long they can live. All right. The first person convicted of speeding was going 8 miles an hour. I may have mentioned this in one of my episodes, but this is quite weird. 8 miles an hour is, I mean, there's a picture of a turtle crossing the finish line, and that's showing how slow 8 miles. I could run faster than 8 miles, and I don't know why this person was convicted of speeding. That sucks, you know? I sped because I was going 8 miles an hour. What was the limit? 2 miles or I don't even know. Next one. Right. Ooh, this one I think this one actually kind of bums me out because I actually like this. The new car smell is the scent of dozens of chemicals. I feel like this does have a sense of theory in it. Whoa, there's 50 plus chemicals. That's not good. I wish sometimes you wish you didn't know a certain type of information because you want to continue that feeling of just like that good feeling that you have. You know, a new car smell to me is something that gives me happiness and joy and that achievement that, oh yes, I have a car. But which is weird, I've never had a car, I can't even drive. But you know, that feeling you get, and then sometimes you hear something about this, and you're like, oh, that's not very fun. I don't even know why this is considered a fun fact. It's not very fun for me. All right. The world wastes about 1 billion metric tons of food each year. I actually work at a Korean barbecue restaurant at in Surrey. It's called Seoul Grill House. For any of you guys who love Korean barbecue, please come down. It's a buffet, so you'll have as much Korean barbecue as you'd like. But where I'm going with this is that I did not know how much food we waste as well. So what we do is we basically get rid of all the food that the people left behind at their table because we can't reuse them. And the amount of food that we come up with or we gather by the end of our shift is sometimes two full garbage cans. That's how much we gather at the end of our shift. I mean, obviously it's a very big restaurant, so I guess it's very predictable that there will be a lot of food waste, but that really shocked me, and I just had no idea that we do waste a lot of food. Because, you know, for me, I don't really waste food. I try to eat all the food that I get or eat as much as I can. But obviously, because it's a buffet, some people don't know their limitations of how much they can eat, and they bring more food than they need, and so then they end up not eating the food that they bring, which is not good. All right. The severed head of a sea slug can grow a whole new body. That is weird. That is very weird. But I guess this also ties upon to the reptile, somewhat reptiles that can grow their own tail. Or I believe if you cut a worm in half, they can still live, because I think they can also grow their body parts, I think. I mean, I don't even know if they have body parts. They're just kind of a long, just a long structure of slime and skin. All right. Hair and nail grow faster during pregnancy. That I did not know. I wonder why. Here's a description. A surprising side effect of pregnancy is that nails and hair grow faster than usual. This is due to changes in hormones, as well as increased blood circulation and metabolism supplying nutrients. This is actually interesting because, as I mentioned, it's a side effect of pregnancy. And I believe that there are a lot of medicine that has been created that was influenced by the side effect. I'm pretty sure there's this one medication where the side effect was thickening hair. And so then using that side effect, they made a certain type of medicine that was designated for people with hair loss. And so I think this is pretty interesting. Sometimes side effects can be very beneficial in the long run. Obviously, sometimes it can be devastatingly dangerous. All right, let's move on. We've got, maybe we'll do two or three more. All right, which one should we do? Okay. You lose up to 30% of your taste buds. Oh, I think I mentioned this last time. All right, come on. Rabbits can puke. This is very random. I thought, can anything puke? I think if they have a digestive system and they're able to eat with their mouths, I think it's pretty obvious that they can actually regurgitate what they ate. Wait, hold on. Oh, rabbits can't puke. They cannot. Oh, that's interesting. Unlike cats or other animals that can cough up hairballs, when they digest too much fur and other indigestible materials, rabbits are incapable of spewing. Their digestive system only goes one way, so the furry critters swallow plenty of roughage, which keeps things moving in the right direction. That's interesting. What I also find interesting is how strong animals' digestive systems are and how their acid level is probably so much more stronger than us. I mean, I think a Komodo dragon, I mean, if you think about it, Komodo dragons, who are basically giant lizards, can just eat all the bones and just digest it like no problem. And I think that's pretty interesting. I always thought what it would be like to be human and have these animal characteristics and have no physical appearance of whether you have it or not. It'll just be so cool because you can just eat whatever you want to eat and then just digest it like an animal without any problems occurring. And so you'll almost be like a superhero but invisible, because whatever powers you have won't be shown other than internally in your body. All right. Our last one for today. Cotton candy was invented by a dentist. That's ironic. I wonder why, you know? I mean, cotton candy was, I guess it was a coincidence that a dentist would create cotton candy. You know, I mean, their whole objective is to cure cavities and prevent unhealthy teeth or gum or oral anything. But, I mean, maybe it was for the pure joy of just, you know, having cotton candy. I personally do not like cotton candy that much. I do love the taste of it. I do enjoy it sometimes. But because of its stickiness and it's just like, it's just crunching just sugar, which basically is sugar. I always found it, I don't know if you guys ever did this, but I would crunch up the cotton candy like a little ball and make it a solid and then eat it like a sandwich. I mean, there were a lot of people that did that as well, but I found that pretty fun to do. All right, there we have it. The fun fact segment is over. Just the last announcement. Fun Drive is still going on. For anyone who do not know what Fun Drive is, it's our annual fundraising event. And we are doing a lot of events at the station. We had movie day last week. We watched some rom-coms. We did our kickoff party, which we had four local bands playing. It was amazing. And we are doing another finale event with three bands playing, Jackson Ramsey, Puzzlehead, and Cyrus Jordan. So please come on. It's February 9th at 8 p.m. The tickets are $10 and it's at Red Gate Art Society. So don't hesitate to come on down and just enjoy some music, drink a little bit, and just meet some new people. It's a great, great event. And I'm sure it's going to be a blast. So I'm going to end it on that note. If anyone has any comments or anything about what I did today or my show or in general, please come down to the station. I'm mostly here. And also, please donate. We really need a new transmitter. So donate as much as you can. If you can't, that's totally fine. Come support us. Come down to the station and check out what we are having here. So yes, I hope everyone has a wonderful rest of the day, and I will see you guys next week. Bye-bye.